You don't know what you do. No, that's probably the best way.
Definitely. Oh dear. Yeah.
Okay, right, we're on now.
Okay then.
So all I say is, and most of them, as Jill has probably found out, just the idea is to say who you are, where we are, maybe. We're in Hathersage this right, morning. Yeah.
Do I say that? Are we starting?
It's up to you, yeah.
Is it on?
It's on, yeah.
Okay. It's Sunday morning. We're in Hathersage, and it's in the van in the George Hotel car park. It's a bit gloomy, but we've been really lucky, haven't we?
The weather we this missed morning. Missed the rain.
So where did you go, Jill, with Jill? Two Jills running.
Two Jills were running, yeah. We ran along the river. So I'm Jill Langley. I'm one of the femme. And this is our leader, Jane.
Yeah, Martin's, you know, long-suffering wife here.
No. Jane Spence, just to get it on the record.
Yeah.
So we parked in Hathersage Station car park at about 9 o'clock and then went along the river and joggled along. Mainly ran, got a bit freer once we'd run for about 10 minutes, did a little bit of walking, and we ran for about 50 minutes, had a bit of a stop, did some stretching, and then ran and walked back.
Right, so you ran towards Chatham, didn't you?
Yeah.
You didn't go across the slippery stepping stones, which I noticed. We ran just there and turned off over to Offerton Moor, which is lovely. It was really a little bit of a climb, but I noticed the stepping stones, the water was quite high and muddy.
Right. You didn't see the remains of Stuart then?
Didn't see the remains of Stuart, no.
we slipped off. Yeah.
Oh no.
So did you cross? Ouch. Did you come across from the other side? They are. I've been with Robbie, my middle son, once we kind of were walking along there, and much to his amusement, it was a really hot day. And we were just approaching the stepping stones, and these middle-aged women were on all fours, spiders going across.
Because
Robbie,
it was so
Robbie kind of looked at me, and he kind of leapt across, and I leapt across and said hello. And it was really, I think, a bit embarrassing. But I think anything like that, once you've hesitated,
you almost have to go for it, don't you?
But they can be slippery, and Martin in the past, they've kind of waded across there.
Yeah.
Well, we've been swimming in it.
Yeah.
So it's so shallow.
Danger is if you slip and then graze your shit, you know, potentially you could
Stuart,
really...
Stuart still has the scars.
From this morning?
No. From years ago.
Oh, okay,
Literally took a chunk out of his shin.
Yeah, painful.
So, yeah, going back to kind of our runs on Sunday, we're a very diverse group, aren't we?
We are, yeah.
And we have these little splits when people get injured or they're kind of whatever. So you and Jill, it was quite nice that you could do a route along the river.
Yeah, together.
Just together.
Getting ourselves going again.
And it might have been, but Becky didn't cycle. Sometimes when people are injured, they go off on a cycle route. The main thing is we're very discerning about what cafe we like to meet in afterwards.
Yeah.
So today it was, thinking it was going to be nice and hot, I chose Sintra's
garden, yeah.
But it's kind of gloomy, but it was nice.
It was all right, it wasn't raining, and it's nice to be outside rather than inside. So.
But it's one of my favourite routes over Offerton Moor. You rarely meet anybody, except this morning we did meet Martin, and we met Ashley. So
did you see the goshawk?
Now, we wondered what it was. And Jill said she thought it might be a goshawk.
Did she?
Yeah. There was a woman on our way back, was a woman looking up into the trees, and she said, "Have you seen that? What's that up there?" Yeah. And we came
to the conclusion of the goshawk because it was too big to be a kestrel.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Too small to be a buzzard.
Yeah.
And you see them up there a lot, birds of prey, but the goshawk is unusual.
And there was another one as well. Did you hear? They were sort of calling to each other. We think there was.
Well, you went down into the trees though, didn't you? You went into
Yeah, we were under the trees, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't. I was on the top.
So it's, right. Oh, okay. Yeah. But we hadn't seen it or heard it when we were going out. It was just as we were coming back and this woman was looking up. We'd have missed it if she hadn't been there looking at it.
Yes.
And then it flew off and then you could hear that one, I think, calling to another one.
We don't like to advertise it, but there are goshawk nests.
Right, Jill said that. Mm. Yeah,
it's enough to say they're there.
Yes.
Because I think there was some eggs were destroyed.
Right.
Early in the summer.
Okay.
So it's just amazing, because I initially thought it was a peregrine, which would have been really unusual.
But it was too big, wasn't it?
It wasn't the right shape.
No.
It was unusual. It was definitely not a normal kestrel.
So you don't think it was a baby from the eggs this year, do you?
That's a good thought.
I mean, I don't really know much about goshawks, but it looked quite a big bird to me.
It did. It looked more mature. Mm, I would say it was an adult. Yeah, because that's just before I saw you.
Okay, yeah.
So you would have run towards it.
Yeah.
So where did you pick... You saw Jill as well then?
No. We went Chattan.
Right.
We didn't... And then came all the way up the ridge, right the way around the back, and then ran over the back of Babney Moor.
Okay. We didn't actually get to Chattan Barn. We stopped sort of at the gate before you... You could turn across.
Yeah. And so how did you cross the river?
We didn't cross the river.
So you walked back the way you came?
Yeah, we just turned around and went back. Yeah.
Ah, right. Okay.
Yeah, we decided we'd just...
We went...
That was 51 minutes.
Up over... Well, where we saw you, over... That's Offerton Moor, isn't it? Then we went off to Abney.
Yeah.
We didn't go actually down Abney Clough. Memories of Abney Moor for you, Jane. Yes, memories of Abney Moor, yes. We went by the spot...
You cut the corner then?
You cut the corner.
And straight down to Stoke Ford.
And then we went to Stoke Ford and then up and over. Yeah. You go left of the kind of mast, at Grindleford Mast, don't you?
Sir William Hill.
Yeah, Sir William Hill. And then I love that descent. I know Lou wasn't running today. She loves that. It's her favourite route, I think.
Oh, right.
Comes down from what I call the Sir William Corner down to Leam and Hazelford Hall.
Yeah.
Which we looked at, and I was convinced I've seen a date, 1500
or
something.
It is, it's got 16.
Where have I seen that? And when I looked for it, I couldn't see it today.
Can you?
No.
It's on the. I think it's above the door.
Right,
the front door.
Well, I was looking
with Sue.
Which I
don't think is used.
Yeah.
They've changed the use. It's a very it's an ancient hall.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't think it's been struggling to keep going because all the external barns.
Well, I was just going to say it's very shabby. The barn opposite. It's all
privately owned.
Yes. I just thought somebody lived in it.
It is, yes.
Yeah,
so it's a private house.
Yeah.
But I don't know, the barn has fallen down in the time.
Right.
And when we've run past it over the years, it literally
has
fallen down.
Last year,
it fell down. Yeah, I know.
Oh, it has.
It's actually gone, yeah. But it was a traditional barn on wooden verticals.
Yeah.
With a sort of like cantilevered roof.
Uh-huh.
And the wooden bits move further and further out
until the roof falls in.
And it did it over about 20 years.
Oh, gosh. Well, that's why you see those wall straighteners on barns, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, you quite often see them in France, wall straighteners.
Yeah.
In fact, when we used to go on holiday with my parents, my sister and I used to play a game where we would count the wall straighteners on the barns. And there were so many of them in France, more than you see in this country.
Like buttresses.
Yeah.
And
they're all different shapes and sizes, yeah.
Well, something had gone at Fox House. Did you see the red van? Postman Pat
van?
Oh,
yes. Gone through the wall again.
Gone through the wall that's just been built up. Completely demolished it.
Mm.
There was
a mountain rescue van guy looking at it this morning.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, because
I don't know when that had happened.
Well, I assumed because there was another car parked just in front of it with a man in it, and then there was the mountain rescue van. So I sort of assumed that must have happened last night.
So this was at Fox House Corner,
on the
Longshore Estate, where they've just built up.
Where
they've
just
it's ad nauseum, isn't it?
I
don't know how many times it's happened this year, but there's
people just coming around.
Three
probably in the rain last night.
That this just
taking the
bend too fast.
There was a lot of surface water, and you know, what's the pub? You know, the road finishing the run. There was a mains burst, and all the water.
Oh yes.
Water at the millstone.
No. Today.
The plough.
Today.
Oh, the plough.
There was
the amount of water that would have been
last night. Yeah.
Yeah. The road opposite the plough. There was gushing water coming out.
From Abney.
Mm.
That's the Abney Road opposite.
Yeah, well, it's more than that. It looked like a bird. It was fountain.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Right.
So it was
there would have been a lot
of
water.
So we paddled and washed our feet as we came across.
there's a natural watering hole at the bottom of there. Is a trough.
With all the horses.
That's still there.
That's a natural.
When they do the Eam half marathon.
Right.
That is halfway.
Roughly
before you kick up and go up, back up the hill to back up to.
So everybody gets on all fours and runs up
to
the water, is it?
Neighs and starts prancing about. Yeah.
Well, you were playing in the water yesterday.
I was playing in the water yesterday. Yes, on the mighty hike.
Yeah.
Macmillan Walk, yeah. It was a friend and I who were accompanied two other friends on part of the walk, and the map that they provided was not particularly detailed. So right. I tried to transfer the route that they sent us onto an OS yeah. map. But I actually got it wrong. I assumed that from Biggin they were going straight up the trail, but in fact they went east across the fields and then back onto the trail. So we walked with them for that way, yeah. having sort of already done a fair bit. And by the time we said, okay, we need to branch off here to get back up to the Herdlow, the Royal Oak, where we'd left one car.
Oh, right.
And they were carrying on. And we asked one of the organisers, okay, so where's the Royal Oak from here? Expecting it to be sort of literally down yeah. the road. And she said, she looked on the map and she said, oh, it's about an hour and 50 walking from here. So yes, that was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah.
We'd gone off at an angle. Yeah. What I realised we'd done is we'd gone off at an angle yeah. to the right and then come back. We're sort of coming back. Mm. Yeah.
So whereas I'd expected
to go straight up on the trail. And that's not what they did. But their map wasn't detailed enough to be... I'd made the wrong assumption, thinking, well, like with all these people, they're going to walk them up the trail. But they didn't. They walked them across the field. So that was good fun because it wasn't raining too much at that point.
What was that?
What was the walk, the yes. occasion? It was called something like the Mighty Great Hike or something like that for Macmillan Nurses.
And where
a
was it?
A huge organisation. It started from Wynaston, south of Ashbourne,
oh.
and walked up to Bakewell, just outside Bakewell.
So it was an A to B?
So it was an A to B walk, and then they were going to bus people back. About 2,000 people.
Mm, a lot of people.
Maybe more than that.
This is from the Macmillan Trust?
Yes.
Right.
And you could set off at any, you know, there were given times when you could set off.
Yes.
And there was a cut-off point where you had to have finished your lunch by 4 o'clock, but the lunch tent was, well, it was probably about halfway. And when we went back down to pick up the car at Biggin at about 3:45, there were still hundreds of people coming by. And they must only have been, you know, they'd got another half marathon to do.
So it was a marathon length?
It was a marathon, well, 26 miles thereabouts.
Yeah.
Mm.
So yeah, it was a good old hike.
I can say, don't you think people underestimate these things? I mean, as admirable as they are at an event,
yes,
people enter them kind of on the idea that they'll be sorted
out.
They'll
be fine. Yeah.
Without actually doing any preparation. 26 miles is 26 miles.
Yeah, it's not many people that could walk that. No, well, the friends that we were supporting. I don't know that they'd done an awful lot of preparation and they were going really well when we left them, and which must have been about 18 miles. And but in the evening, you know, they texted and said, we found the last four very, very hard. And I said, well, they always say there's two halves to a marathon, the first 20 and the last six, which I hadn't said to them at the time.
No.
But they did really well.
Yeah. Perhaps it was better that it was, I know, albeit wet and cooler, because they could have really
in
that
heat.
That heat.
Yeah, it would have been
on that dreadful Thursday that we were laughing about earlier.
Yes,
when we phoned you.
Yes,
and
it was very hot.
What had happened to the train then?
Well, originally they said it was nothing to do with the weather conditions, but I think the overhead cables must have become too hot, came down on the train. Which was a bit scary at the time.
Oh, I didn't realise that. So it wasn't the, you know, like some of the tracks, because it's been so
hot. They said it would be
molten.
The tracks.
Yeah.
The lines droop.
Right.
Yes.
They expand so far that they actually drop onto the ground.
Yeah.
Because they expand so much.
Well, it sounded like when it happened, it was like, my goodness, what's that?
And you hit it?
We were on the train. The lines came down onto the train. The overhead lines came down. And it sounded like it was a thunderstorm that was immediately overhead. You know, because it was that real sort of, you know, the loud clack.
Yes.
Right.
And it was, it was a bit sort of like, oh my goodness, what was that? But there was no rain or anything. And we were just coming into the, you know how there's a series of tunnels before you get into St Pancras?
Oh,
and
yes.
It was just before the first tunnel.
You were going to London then?
So
the last bit in through Tottenham and all
that.
So
that must have been scary.
It was a little bit scary, but it was sort of like, then gradually you thought, okay, so this train's going to be stopping now. Which it did pull to a halt just inside the tunnel. So we were sitting there. I mean, there was lighting on, but outside it was dark because we were in the tunnel. So they had to decide what could be done. Fortunately, they'd put on extra carriages, so I think they joined two trains together because the trains either side of ours was cancelled, so they'd got like three lots of people going onto one train. So everybody had a seat, it was fine. But I think what had happened because of the electrical problem, the two trains that in effect they'd put together weren't able to talk to each other.
Oh, I see. Yes.
So what they wanted to do was to push the train back into West Hampstead Station, but they couldn't do that because the electrics had failed. So some engineers came out, which took about sort of 20 minutes, half an hour. But when they looked at it, they decided they couldn't do that. And the air conditioning was going on and off. They kept repairing it to try to get... I don't know whether it was shorting, what was happening. But so 2.5 hours later, they decided they needed to evacuate the train. So fortunately, our carriage was carriage C, so A and B only had to get off before us, but there was the first class were right down the other end further into the tunnel, so they took us off the back,
right,
which then took another half an hour.
So did you have to walk on the
tracks? We did have to walk on the tracks, which is what they wanted to avoid.
Well, I can imagine, because that is the busiest junction.
So, I mean, there was no other trains coming. They obviously stopped.
Yeah,
the whole lot came to a haste.
All the trains, but so then they had to take us down quite a steep little ladder, because obviously getting down from a train onto the track and not onto a platform is quite a long way.
3 or 4 feet, yeah.
So there were hordes of people telling, you know, getting us to say step over this, step over that, you know, and all this, that and the other. And but people were, you know, there was a lot of people trying to get flights, which they would have missed.
You're so frustrating because you're 10 minutes from the destination.
Absolutely. So when I got off the train, I knew where I was, and I knew roughly how to get to Magsley. Yes. So I said, they said, well, this bus is going to take you to St Pancras. And I said, I don't really want to go back to St Pancras to come out again. I said, can you order me a taxi? And they said, well, we're not allowed to order taxis, which I can get, you know, I get that really. So I just checked out the route and said, I was about 2 miles away, so I just walked it. But yeah, having set off from home the first time at 10:15, I finally got to my sister's in Camden at 6:15. So fortunately, I was staying overnight, because otherwise I would have normally been leaving her at that time. So it was lucky that I could then have a couple of hours with her into the evening, and then stayed at my niece's flat, which we'd all set up beforehand, fortunately.
Oh, right.
And then go back and see her in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
So that was fortunate, really, because otherwise I would have been thinking, now, where am I going to stay? Because I wouldn't have wanted to come straight back.
But if you magnify that by 1,000...
Oh, absolutely.
Which is roughly the people that are, maybe not 1,500 gone on the train.
How many people?
Well, I don't know. It was certainly quite a long time. But, you know, the staff were really good. I think people... you know, complaining about the staff, if they were, which we didn't hear anybody on our carriage, and nobody sort of kicked off or anything. It was quite good humour, even though we were there for a long time. But the staff did absolutely everything they could.
Yeah. No, I mean, but 2.5 hours, you think about what they've had to do to literally shut the whole network down just to get people off onto tracks.
Because it wasn't their fault, you know. No, they were dealing with a difficult situation.
Yeah,
the trouble is we're just not ready for it.
No.
I was in London on Monday, but I drove down, and but I complained, you know, because of the parking.
Yes.
And it used to cost you 20, 25, 30 quid a day.
So did you park way down and
then
get a train
now.
In?
No, what
you
I did
you
was
found
I,
a good place,
I, you? I, you can now book parking in people's driveways.
Oh, yeah, just park. Like yeah, we've done that on occasions.
And it cost me 9 quid, unlimited, whatever. And it was a secure area.
Yeah.
At Swiss Cottage.
Yeah, okay.
So I can whiz straight. I mean,
that's where Maggie used to live.
Yeah, well, that's exactly so. You know how convenient
it's very convenient.
And so I can drive, it's 10 minutes from the motorway.
Yes.
If you go the back routes.
Yeah, yeah.
And don't get caught or don't, and so on. So that was really convenient.
Mm.
But I was laughing about how, when people expect things.
Yes.
You go on the train. I mean, I go use the train a lot, and 99% of the time going there, I've never had a problem. It's coming back has always been the problem. You know, you get stuck, and it gets, you know, when you're late at night or something.
Yes.
So I've always got to London on time. That's the first time I've heard that, you know, like you, that was exceptional.
Didn't get that. Yeah, no, it was exceptional. Absolutely exceptional.
But then when it goes wrong, it really goes wrong.
Yes.
But the other thing we were joking about, wasn't it? We've just been talking about it here in our man talking about people booking holidays and putting their money down and expecting.
Everything,
you know, everything dealt out, which so they get a brochure and they get this and they're told to do this and do it. What made me laugh was that the cruises, Norwegian cruises.
Oh,
they were coming back from Bergen.
Picked up on this,
Have you seen it?
Yeah, Steve was laughing about
it.
Was
hilarious.
What was it?
Well, it was that somebody had paid his £2,000 for his fjord trip to Norway and back. On the way back, they have formal dinners, you know, captain's dinners.
Oh,
you know,
okay, all that sort of cruising captains,
all that sort of stuff, you know.
We'd be first there, Joe.
He was first from there.
My mum used to love that stuff.
And they
did
had
she?
A, it was did she? Well, this what happened was they had a massive fight.
Oh.
The, all the passengers had a massive, like, Wild West style brawl.
Why?
In the, well.
Listen to this is bizarre.
Some guy had stood up, obviously had got his proper dinner kit on, and had walked in, and he had an absolute, he went berserk, apparently, because somebody else had turned up in a clown's outfit.
Oh.
And he's said, apparently, that, I mean, whether this is accurate or not, he stood up and said, right, I've paid an awful lot of money specifically to come on a cruise that has no fancy dress.
Right.
And puzzles turned up. It all. So you had a hen night and stag do's at one end.
Oh,
and you
wow.
had the blazered
yes,
bow tie
sort of
lot.
The
and
the
they
etiquette.
Were all on the same boat.
Right.
We talk about a, you know, a classic. And so they had a massive fight.
Oh,
so they were arresting people.
Sake.
And they but you can't go away, can you? They had to steam through the night.
Yeah.
And end up at Southampton. The police were waiting for them.
Wow.
And they'd all sorted out who were the main culprits. And it turned out to be, I think, a couple after all this that
okay.
sparked this.
Oh. And then like sat back and watched it.
Sounds like a good comedy sketch, isn't
does,
it?
Does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The film in the making.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So at the moment now, you have to, if you organise your own holidays, you can only blame yourself. But when this guy, he literally, his in the small print, said no fancy dress.
Right. So it comes back to expectations.
Do you book your
own? Yeah.
Well, why do you need a passport to go to Northern Ireland?
Yeah. Oh, that's another one. Did you? I didn't know that.
This is what happens in misinformation.
You know, well, Sue, you see, she hadn't. Pauline had got the tickets. I think had she had got her own ticket, she would have realised she'd have needed some identification, photographic identification.
Oh, yeah, because I always have
but,
to fly.
You know, to, but right. Sue has recently got married and changed her name.
Oh, okay.
So,
oh, so
her documentation
was booked in the wrong name.
So she hadn't got... She booked it in her married name, but her documentation, she's in the process of changing, and she got it in her old name.
Okay.
So, of course, there's no way she could go. So,
no.
So it's fortunate
oh
they were
what
flying
shame.
From Manchester, because it could have been a lot worse,
yeah.
couldn't it? So,
but it shows you how these this the message, the communicating gets the wrong end of the stick.
Mm.
The message I got, and Sue, I think, actually sent an email that she had forgotten her passport.
Yes, that's what it said.
And I thought,
in
well, wait, that's
up.
A bit weird. You don't well, need a passport to go to Northern Ireland.
No, well, that's why I said, well, I didn't either.
And then I started questioning it,
okay.
thinking, well, maybe we do. Because I've never been to Northern Ireland.
Well, we'd be blaming Brexit, wouldn't we? This
I know.
Has happened
yeah.
after
so it
the
brings
first
it. So all this, the, you
yeah,
can see it, it's all ramped
up. Yeah.
In the end, I said, it must be identification.
Yeah.
But I'm... Then to ramp it all up again, if she then forgotten to change her name and all
yes.
done.
So
okay.
then it becomes.
So are you a person not in the technology? And of course you're not.
Yeah.
Unless you match up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and they're
and
only doing their job, aren't they?
And
actually?
You've got
yeah.
software
yeah.
engineers or build. You know, we build software and then you build in all the scenarios you think, and then
and
that's one they haven't built in.
Yeah.
So somewhere along the line, there's somebody's going to screw it all up by being just not, you know, with no fault. But
no.
then she ended up not being able to go on the flight. That was it.
Yeah.
There was,
yeah,
no, there was no way round.
No.
No compromise.
Well,
which I would have said
to
is
us.
You, well, it happened to me when I went on the Eurostar to Brussels, which you do need your passport.
Mm.
You turn
yes.
up in St Pancras.
Yes.
And it's kind of obvious.
Yeah.
You would have thought.
Because you're going to France.
But Pete turned up with that one, thinking he was just jumping on a train.
Mm.
And
oh,
about it.
Dear.
So we actually blagged. I don't know how, but we blagged. We said, we'll be responsible for it.
Okay.
And we went. So we had a whole day in Brussels. But we got clobbered on the way back.
Oh, gosh.
Because he was going back into the country without any...
Oh, okay,
they,
yeah.
So we actually... And they let us get away with it, but we shouldn't... I mean, it took us half an hour to persuade them that we were responsible for him and he was an idiot. And so on, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway,
just
a bit,
just linked what? In with that. Remember that time when you were sailing wherever it was? We were going to... I was
oh,
going
no,
to
yeah.
come out with the three children and join you in Spain, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were going to Mallorca, yeah.
Because we were going to Mallorca and kind of in usual relaxed Jane style. I got my passport and everything, getting the kids' gear together. And then I realised, looked at my passport. And in those days, the children were quite small. They were all on Martin's
okay,
passport.
Yeah. Right.
So then I thought, oh, God. So I phoned at Liverpool, what can I do about this? And there was nothing, you know, it was
right.
I could really do. So there was no way Martin could even meet us at the airport and show his passport with the children on. That wasn't good enough.
Acceptable.
So we had to the only way we got the holiday booked, hadn't we? Because I was joining you, and you booked something in Mallorca.
Yeah.
So the only thing what we had to do, we had to fly. Where were you flying back from?
It was in Parma.
Yeah.
And they would. So I'd been out there a week beforehand, and they were joining me.
Yeah.
The only thing was that disturbed my evening meal. I jumped on the latest plane and flew back to Liverpool.
Okay.
Overnight.
And wow. Then
sat in the VIP lounge until they turned up.
Okay.
Came back
good thinking.
And got onto the same plane.
Yeah, it just cost
with
that.
The same crew.
Well, that,
who looked
yeah.
at me yeah. and thought, what if you just come back and spend an evening in Liverpool VIP?
Yeah.
Just for, I said, well, you know.
It's a long
story. And
that
story. Was the only way I get, yeah, it was, literally.
Right. Yeah, because in those days, I mean, now
you could, yeah.
children have to have
their own
passport.
Have their own individual passports.
That's right, yeah.
So
even
billions.
When does that come in?
I don't know.
I don't know, actually, but a few years ago
so
now.
So what is it, 10-year-olds upwards? Or is it
no, babies.
Everybody
Billy,
has to have a passport.
Billy has his own.
Has he?
Billy has his own beautiful passport photo. Absolutely
how
gorgeous.
How long does a baby's passport last?
I don't know how long they last for.
He looks
for,
like a
actually.
Baby, and then at 10, he's
yeah.
well, like...
Yeah. No, I think it's probably five years rather than 10 years. I'm really not sure.
Like, what you...
No,
no,
you
because
most passport photos, you don't look no. anything like you, or you look like you've seen a ghost.
Yes.
It'll be a means to extracting more money, won't it?
Well,
because that, obviously...
I must admit, I did think that, but then actually thinking about your situation, actually, that it maybe is more sensible to...
Yeah.
children to have their own passports because
well,
then
it's come about, I think it's come about out of necessity.
Yes.
I get that.
Yeah.
But in our case, you know, it just seemed, you know, a joint.
Yeah.
And you couldn't put it on both at the time.
You had to choose
you
which
choose,
one to.
Yeah.
Yeah, she couldn't put it on, but that would have been
I couldn't
the best.
Fax them. I couldn't.
No, you couldn't
do anything.
No, right. There was
the
no
way
to meet it and to show them there. No way. And yeah.
I mean, I guess all these things are built in for security
yes,
reasons.
It is.
You know,
yeah.
On the surface
it,
of it, a family, you know, you wouldn't expect there to be any security risk. But I guess, you know, it's thin
but
under the wedge.
The problem with these things, isn't it? They're like blanket.
Yeah.
It's
one size
they cover
all.
The minority for the majority
odd occasion.
Suffer.
Yeah. Well,
so, like most things.
Hey,
right,
hey,
then we could
well, on
speak.
That note,
we'll have. We could
let's
speak
go
all day.
Enjoy our holidays.
The links. Yes. Yeah, so I'll be. Yes.
I'm
so,
going to kill it now.
Yeah.
Excellent.